Chapter 50. Michael cursed his luck. He'd been deployed to another department for the night, meaning he couldn't do his usual ward's research. Consulting the printout, he unloaded the requested blood bags from cold storage onto his trolley, plus a handful of saline replacements. Michael reluctantly wheeled the lot towards the operating theater. He couldn't get away with playing coy about his arm when he was covering emergency department shifts. People's quality of life actually depended on him moving quickly. He tended to keep this secret to himself, but shocker, he was capable of working fast. As Michael unloaded the bags in the operating room, a patient was wheeled in at speed. Frenzied doctors and nurses obscured the patient from view while the lead doctor briefed the room.
Female involved in a car crash, 37 years old, multiple traumas to the head, chest, and right leg, suspected internal bleeding. ID card says Kelsey Bailey.
Michael's heart froze. Denial rung in his ears. He forced his way close to the patient's bedside and peered through the medic's weaving arms. Kelsey's beautiful face lay before him, unconscious on the stretcher. Only, for the first time since he'd fallen in love with her, she wasn't beautiful at all. She was damaged. Terror rose up inside Michael as he called her name desperately. Pushing the nurses aside, he grabbed Kelsey's hand, shaking her, trying to rouse her as panic filled his brain. Medics bundled him out of the room, overruling his pleas as they summoned a security automaton. He pawed at the machine's chest plates feebly, sobbing, repeating Kelsey's name. The machine deposited him in the waiting area, then glided back to the emergency room. Michael rushed from the hospital and leaped into his car. He raced home, searching for Toma. The faithful automaton was nowhere to be seen. Michael tore through the house in a frenzy, searching for a flower the machine might have left behind.
"Dad? What's wrong?"
said Leon sleepily.
"Nothing. Go to bed," croaked Michael.
"Dad?"
"I said go."
Their usual 2 a.m. rendezvous came and went. Hours passed by, and still there was no sign of Toma. Weeping, Michael curled into a ball and rocked from side to side, delirious with worry.
"Mika sad?"
Michael's head jerked up, startled by Taylor's sudden appearance.
"Why Mika sad?"
"It's complicated," he sniffed.
Taylor screwed up her face, thinking, then grabbed Michael in a bear hug.
"I look after you, Mika,"
she cooed. Taylor's innocence only made Michael's heartache worse. If she knew the pain coming their way. A faint scratching sounded from the hallway. Michael recognized the pattern at once. Breaking Taylor's embrace, he rushed to the door, opening it to the missing automaton.
"It's almost 5 a.m. Where the hell have you been?" he yelled.
Toma's head was dipped. Michael didn't know it could even tilt like that. The machine's knees were grazed and stained with grass and dirt. Before Michael could interrogate it further, running footsteps interrupted.
"Tommy!"
squealed Taylor. She barged past Michael clumsily, flinging herself around her beloved companion, the machine that spent every waking minute of each day with her. The automaton placed a tender arm around her back. Michael had never seen the machine's hug before.
"Playtime!"
Taylor cheered, jumping up and down.
"Not now, Taylor. I need to talk to Toma," said Michael.
"Patty cake?"
grinned Taylor, ignoring Michael and swinging from Toma's arm. Toma tapped his hands together in a pattern. To Michael's astonishment, Taylor understood.
"Yay! Yes, yes, I like!"
she cheered. Taylor skipped into the lounge where she tipped out some toy building blocks and began playing with earnest concentration. Michael was stunned. Since when did automatons use sign language? Since when did Taylor understand it? He shook the amazement from his mind. There was no time to dwell. He had to save Kelsey.
"Do you have the offering?" he hissed.
Toma unfurled a hand before Michael. In place of the usual translucent, shimmering flower was a withered clutch of 5 black petals around a shriveled stalk.
I don't understand. What's this? Where's the usual one?" stammered Michael.
The automaton shook its head.
"No, no, this can't be right. There's no way they'll accept this."
The machine shook its head again. Michael's despair boiled over into anger.
You have to find one, he yelled.
Thomas' head twitched, as if looking upstairs to the sleeping boys. Michael flinched, lowering his voice but continuing urgently.
We're running out of time, he hissed. Kelsey's in surgery, and if we don't pay the tribute within the next hour, she could die.
Toma let the black petals fall to the ground and placed a hand on either side of Michael. The gesture was baffling. Was this supposed to be consoling him? Toma settled into a firm grip, then lifted Michael out of its way, gliding into the living room.
What the hell are you doing? Help me!
Cried Michael, chasing after the machine.
Hey! Are you listening to me?
The automaton retrieved something from the bookshelf, placing it in Michael's palm, an origami figure of an automaton. Michael stared at it in bewilderment.
We don't have time for this, Toma. Kelsey's dying!
The automaton stared at him blankly. Michael thumped the machine's chest in despair.
Did you hear me?
He yelled, pounding its metal plating.
No! Tommy!
Cried Taylor, aghast. She leaped up, throwing herself around Toma in a fierce embrace, shielding the robot from Michael's blows.
Taylor, get out of the way. You don't understand what you're doing, begged Michael.
Tommy,
she insisted, clinging to its frame. Michael staggered backwards, clutching his hair with despair. Toma was ignoring him completely, while Taylor was totally blocking him from getting anything meaningful out of the machine. They were Kelsey's only hope of survival, and they were squandering what precious time she had left. Toma stroked Taylor's hair, soothing her into a quiet murmur, then gave a series of hand signals. The child woman's face erupted into a beaming grin, and her moaning turned to laughter.
Silly Mika,
she giggled. Toma delivered three more hand signals.
Okay,
chimed Taylor. She planted a kiss on the machine's cheek, then turned to Michael.
Silly Mika,
she laughed again, before planting a kiss on his cheek, too, then scarpering upstairs to her room. The machine turned away from Michael and glided into the kitchen. Opening a drawer, it pulled out a screwdriver.
What are you doing?
Toma pointed the screwdriver at its chest, then sat down at the table.
I don't understand, said Michael.
The automaton repeated the gesture, then slid the tool across the table. Michael took a second to process what it was implying.
No, there must be another way, he implored.
Toma gave a slow, mechanical shake of its head. Michael picked up the screwdriver and tried to gather himself. His head was spinning. The entire family's future was in his hands. The boys were asleep, clueless that their mother had been in a car crash. Taylor was playing upstairs, blissfully unaware that her fragile world was about to be shattered forever. The passing seconds echoed from the kitchen clock. Kelsey's only chance of survival was sitting before him, but Michael was paralyzed. What the machine was asking him to do was something Taylor would never forgive. Could he even forgive himself? After all it had done for his grandfather, now this? Toma was special. It cared, nurtured, hugged. Did that mean it could also feel pain? Michael couldn't bear the thought. If he did this, he might save Kelsey tonight, but what about tomorrow? What if Olive needed him? Indecision was paralyzing him. As if reading his mind, the machine seized Michael's hand. Gazing at him through its cracked stone eyes, it guided the tip of the screwdriver to its breast.
I'll never forget you, whispered Michael.
Toma nodded once, then sat up tall, staring straight ahead past Michael's shoulder. With a trembling hand and tears rolling down his cheeks, Michael prized open the automaton's breastplate. He turned the four steam valves off in turn. Steam billowed from the machine's joints, which fell loose, dislocating from their sockets. Michael raised the screwdriver to Toma's sunburst mineral heart. Whispering a final goodbye, he prized the mineral out. The glow drained from Toma's eyes, and its chin slumped to its chest. Michael stared at the butchered machine, his lips quivering. The tiny stone heart was scorching hot, burning into the palm of his hand. He gripped it tightly, wincing through the pain, and ran for his car. Michael screeched up by the ministry and rushed across the square. The first rays of sun were warming to the top of the dome. Michael had never tried to make an offering so late. He had no idea if they'd even answer his call. He pounded the shutter until it slid open. The usual glow from the corridor beyond was gone. In its place was a distant red flame. A cold draft emanated from the hatch. Michael placed the tiny stone heart down in the collection bowl.
"Promise me you won't take her! I'm begging you!" he cried.
The hatch slammed shut in his face. Michael stepped back, staring at the doorway with bated breath. 10 seconds passed. Nothing. Michael turned and fled, racing to the hospital. He dashed through to the emergency department front desk.
"Michael? What's wrong?" said his colleague.
"My wife, Kelsey, she was in an accident," he panted. "Is she out of surgery yet?"
His colleague placed a consoling hand on his, then looked her up on the system.
"They've moved her to ICU room 2.
Michael was gone in an instant, racing to intensive care. He sped past his supervisor.
"Oh, Michael, can you change the bedpans on Ward C?"
Ignoring her, he sprinted to the isolation rooms, skidding across to room 2. Gasping for breath, he peered through the window. The adrenaline and energy drained from his body as he stared through the glass at Kelsey's damaged body. Tears swelled in his eyes as he stepped inside. "Kelsey Bailey," read the sign at the foot of her bed. Her ID was nestled in the census on the wall behind her, ready to direct her letter to the hospital mailroom. Kneeling by her side, Michael pressed her hand to his cheek, weeping. He glanced at the clock on the wall. In the next few minutes, he would know if he'd done enough. At the stroke of 6 a.m., he'd know if his wife was to live or die.
"I'm sorry I ever pushed you away," he whispered. "I'm here now, baby. I'm here. And I will do whatever it takes to make things right. Stay with us. Please. I can't lose you again."